بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق سورة البروج was a surah which was revealed in Mecca and it comprises of 22 verses. In the surah, Allah swears by four different things. And then he brings an incident which occurred just before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach the believers a beautiful lesson and to give them a reason to continue and be consistent with the iman that they have, although they were facing so much persecution and torture, so that they may learn that good things and success and the help of Allah only comes when you are consistent in the good things that you do, not when you go away from it. Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, by the skies and by the heavens. ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, the heavens, the sky, which has great stars in it. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, by the sky which has great stars. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and by the promised day. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and by the witness, and by the thing which is witness. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, buruj, it is the plural of the word burjun, burj. And burj means big palace, a big palace. Buruj, which is the plural, will mean big palaces. It also has the meaning of opening and manifestation, to make something clear. The Holy Quran says that wherever you are, death will overtake you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا, the word buruj is used there. Even though you are in mighty palaces and held up, built up with big pillars. So buruj means big palaces, big strong palaces, houses. And the other meaning of buruj, it is to make something open, to disclose, to reveal something. The Holy Quran says to the woman, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, do not reveal yourself, O Muslim woman, as the women of the olden pre-Islamic days used to open themselves. Tabarruj and buruj again comes there. But in this ayat, the word buruj it refers to great stars, big stars, beautiful stars, mighty stars. So, by the sky, which has big stars and great stars, and this is the tafsir, which is adopted by the great mufassirin of the Holy Quran, like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Dhahhak, the great mufassir, the great commentator of the Holy Quran, Hassan Basri and Qatada, Allama Suddi, great scholars from the very early era of Islam. This is the opinion that Buruj here means stars, great stars. Some other commentators have stated that Buruj here refers to the palaces and the big places that are built up in the skies, and the places are built up so that the angels who are deputed by Allah to guard the skies, they reside in these palaces. This is what Buruj refers to. That the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed angels to guard the heavens. And it is evident from the hadith which has been mentioned about the Mi'raj, that Jibreel alayhi salam had to seek permission from the different angels to enter the different heavens. So angels reside at different points. And there are mansions and palaces which are visible to them but invisible to all the other beings. They reside in this, and they also state that this, it refers to this. Whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the sky, and the sky which Allah has created accommodates these mighty, beautiful, big stars. That is one sifat of the sky. Allah swears, wal yawmil ma'ud, by the promised day. What is the promised day? The day of judgment, the day of qiyamah. Wa shahidin wa mashhud, Allah swears by the thing which witnesses, the witness. And Allah swears by the thing which is witness. There is a hadith reported by Imam Tirmizi that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Yawmul Maw'ud, the promised day, is the hour of judgment, the day of qiyamah. Wa shahid, the thing which witnesses, is the day of Jummah. Wa shahid in this surah means the day of Jummah. Mashhud means the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah. The reason that shahid is given to mean the thing which witnesses is because, and it refers to Jummah, is because of the fact that every week Jummah comes to the believers. And you will perform Jummah Salat wherever you are, in whichever locality and whichever city you are in, you will perform your Jummah there. So it is as if Jummah is coming to meet you, so Jummah witnesses you. But the thing which is witness is the day of Arafah, because for the day of Arafah, people throughout the entire world, or people throughout the entire earth, wherever they live, they leave their places, they leave their countries, they leave their villages, and all of them present themselves to witness the day of Arafah in the plains of Arafah. So Arafah, it is witnessed, but the day of Jummah witnesses you. It is a witness for you. When we look at the three things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by, it all speaks about a gathering. The day of Qiyamah, the day of Jummah, and the day of Arafah. And in these four things which Allah swears by, the sky, He swears by the day of judgment, He swears by Shahid, the thing which witnesses, and He swears by Mashhud, the witness thing, the message that He is bringing to mankind, is that Allah, He who has created the heavens, and He has placed therein beautiful stars and mighty stars, He is all powerful of bringing you together for the hour of judgment. And on that day, you will be awarded your rewards, or you will be punished with your punishment. That is a muqaddama and an introduction to the incident which Allah is about to mention in this Holy Quran. And the incident is about a case where people, on one hand, they were persecuted and they were oppressed. On the other hand, there was a tyrant ruler and there was an oppressor. So that Allah may teach man that there is a day when justice will be served. He has mentioned these things about Yawm al-Mal'ud wa Shahidin wa Mashhud, that whatever you do, it is being witnessed. Whatever you do, it is being written. Whatever you do, there is someone looking at you, and then you will be presented on the day of judgment. Now on the day of judgment, you will be given your due share, whatever you rightfully deserve. Allah says the incident. It begins the incident about mentioning about his destruction. Saying, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. The people of the trench will be destroyed. قُتِلَ. Destruction will come to the people of the trench, or destruction has come to the people of the trench. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. النَّارِ, what is أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ about? أُخْدُودِ means khandaq, a trench. A deep trench dug into the earth is known as Ukhdud. And what is this Ukhdud trench about? What is the incident about it? Allah says, An-nari dhatil waqood. It is a fire which is full of fuel. It is a fire which is full with fuel. Idh hum alayha qu'udun. When they were sitting upon the fire, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ الشُّهُودِ. وَهُمْ, and these people were all witnesses of what was being done to the mu'mineen. The incident which is mentioned here, it is an incident which occurred approximately 70 years before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it occurred in the city of Yemen. In the city of Yemen, there lived a tyrant ruler by the name of Yusuf Zunawas. This tyrant ruler, he had, like and following the customs of the kings of the past, will have sorcerers and evil people who knew the art of witchcraft and sorcery living in your kingdom. People who would tell you what to do in order to retain your power. And people who would tell you about who is going to come to overthrow you. Just like what Pharaoh had in his kingdom. So this king, Yusuf Zunawas, had a sahir and a sorcerer who used to work for him. A time came when this sorcerer became very old, and he said to the king, I am getting old, very soon I will not be here anymore. Choose an intelligent young boy for me so that I may teach him the art of sorcery, and he will continue to work in your kingdom. The hadith has been mentioned in many different commentaries of the Holy Quran and is an authentic one. And that is the incident which the Holy Quran describes. And this is the sabab al-nuzul, the shan al-nuzul, and the reason for the revelation for this. It occurred 70 years before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is a lesson to the believers, because it has been seen in the history of man, and it is visible today, that whenever or wherever you carry the flag of true iman, you would be persecuted. There is no doubt about it. For the people who believed in Musa, they were persecuted by Pharaoh. For the people who believed in Isa, they were persecuted by the Herod. For the people who believed in Dawood alayhi salam and believe in the prophets of the past, whether it is Ibrahim alayhi salam, whether it is Zakaria alayhi salam, whether it is Idris alayhi salam, they were all persecuted. And that is the sunnah, and that is a practice that is established on the face of the earth. believers will always be persecuted. And the Sahabas were really persecuted. And Allah revealed a surah to them, teaching them that in persecution, the only way and the only time you will get the help of Allah is if you remain firm in your iman. You do not budge from it. You do not give up. And if you give up, you would not get the help of Allah. And that is the reason that the surah was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas. And it is an ideal lesson for us today. So this king took the advice of the sahir and the sorcerer. And he searched in the city and found a very intelligent boy. And he called the boy and he said, you will have to report to my kingdom every day to learn the sorcery of this sorcerer. So wherever there are tyrant rulers, they do not give you the choice to make a decision. They make the decision for you. And you just have to do what you are ordered to do, else you will be persecuted. So the boy had no choice in the matter, and the boy started to come for lessons every day. But every day when he comes, while undertaking the journey to come to the sahir, on the way there was a rahib, a Christian monk living. And the Christian monk, when he started to see this intelligent boy, because from his face there it shows intelligence, he called the boy one day and he said, I would like you to come to me and learn from what I have with me, from the knowledge of the religion of Isa alayhi salam. He was a true Christian monk who adhered to the teachings, believing in Tawheed, believing in one Allah, and practiced upon the teachings of Isa alayhi salam without believing that Isa shared the divinity and Isa was the son of Allah. Na'uzubillah. He was a true person. So the boy was convinced in some way or the other that what the monk was telling him was the truth. So every day the boy, while going to the king's palace, will stop and take some lessons from the monk. And after that he will present himself in the king's palace. And then when he left the king's palace, he will stay with the monk for a little while and then return home. For his late coming in the king's palace, he will be flogged and he will be beaten by the guards of the king. And whenever he delayed in coming home in the evening, he will be beaten at home also for reaching late at home. This did not hinder him. This did not stop him. He continued to take the persecution, but he learned from the monk in going and coming. One day it so happened that when he came out from the monk's place and he was walking on the road, a lion came on the street, on the pathway. And the people were terrified. And the people did not know what to do. And they saw him coming. And they knew that he was going to learn something every day from the sorcerer. So therefore, they thought that he was able to perform some act, some unusual act that will get rid of the lion. So what the boy did is that he took up a stone and he said, oh Allah, the Lord of the monk, if what the monk is teaching me and his religion is the truth, then cause this lion to be destroyed with this stone. And if the religion of the sorcerer is the truth, then do not let the lion be destroyed with this stone, so that I may see who is on the right path. And the boy threw the stone at the lion, and the lion died. He became more convinced of that. When that happened, everyone started to speak about it. The boy has performed a miracle. Who will throw a small stone on the lion and kill the lion? Who can do that? So the word went around the town and the village that the boy is performing miracles. And very soon people started to know about it. And there was a blind man. In the riwayat of Ibn Kathir, it states there was a blind man who was working with the king in the king's palace. and he was of a very high position. His status in the king's palace was very high. But since he became blind, the king moved him to a lower position and moved him from his chair. So that blind man came to know of the boy. So he came to the boy and he said, "I heard that you have performed a miracle. I want you to do the same so that my sight can be restored." The boy says, "On one condition, you must believe in one Allah. You must believe that there is one God and the religion of the monk is the true religion." He says, "Yes, I am ready." And he did it. The boy prayed to Allah and his sight was restored. The man came to the king's palace, and rather than going to the chair that he was placed in when he became blind, he went to his original chair. The king looked at him and says, "This man can see. This man can see. He's blind. He knows the spot. Now he's going to the original place." So he asked the man, "What is the matter?" The man says, "I can see once more." The king says, "Is that so? How it happened?" And then he started to describe of what happened with the boy and what happened with the sight, that the boy performed a miracle. So the king summoned the boy and asked the boy what had happened. "You were supposed to come here to learn sorcery, but what is this you are telling people about?" Then the boy had no choice, because he was placed under severe persecution. He was tied and he was whipped, and he was forced to disclose the identity of the monk. The monk was then brought in the palace, and he was also tied and he was whipped. And the king forced them and was pressurizing them and putting pressure on both of them to believe that there is no God, that he is the one that they should worship. Both of them rejected. They refused to do that. They killed the old monk right there. He was killed. They tried to kill the boy there, but they couldn't kill him. So the king devised a plan, and he said to the guards and his soldiers, he said, "Take him to a high mountain and throw him off the cliff and come back." They carried him to the tip of the mountain. All of them fell from the mountain. The mountain, according to one riwayat, started to shake, and all of them fell from the mountain, and the boy came back to the king. The king says, "Where are all those people?" He said that they have fallen off the mountain and they are dead. So the king could not believe it, so he called another group forward of soldiers. He says, "Carry this boy in a boat in the ocean and drown him." They carried the boy in the boat, on the boat. They tried to drown him. All of them were drowned, and the boy came back alive. So the king could not believe it. And he was trying many different things to kill the boy, and it could just not work. Eventually, the boy realized that what the king was trying to do and what the king could not do. So he said to the king that the only way you will kill me is if you do what I tell you to do. The king said, "I'm ready." He said, "Take an arrow, shoot it at me, and at the time of shooting it, say Bismillah, in the name of Allah, in the name of Allah. But you have to call the entire city together, and you will have to do this in front of them." So the king wanted to kill the boy. So he called the entire city in public, and he placed the boy at a distance, and he took the arrow, and he said Bismillah. He shot it towards the boy. It struck the boy in the midsection, and the boy passed away because of that. And this was the healer and the strategy of the boy. In other words, the boy was telling him how to kill him. But when that happened, all the people around the king there, the entire people, all of them accepted the religion, the true religion of believing in one Allah. According to the riwayat, 12,000 people were gathered there, and the 12,000 of the people accepted Islam, the true religion. When the king saw that, the king could not believe his eyes. He said to his wazir and ministers, "The thing that I wanted to stop is the exact thing that happened. I wanted to kill the boy so that this religion that he's preaching will not come over to the people, but now all of them have accepted his religion. What should I do?" They said, "Dig a trench, kindle it with a fire. Throw them in the fire. This is what happened. He had many trenches made, deep trenches made. And he kindled it with fire, blazing fire. And then all those people who believed, the 12,000 of them, they were forced. He said to them, you have to choose. You believe in me or you believe in the boy. If you believe in me, you shall be saved. And if you believe in the boy, then you will be placed in the fire. All of them, their iman was so strong that they allowed themselves to be thrown in the fire, but they will not give up the belief. There was one incident that occurred with a woman. She had just given birth to her child, and the child was still nursing, and the child was in her hands. And when she was being forced into the trench of fire, she thought, she became doubtful, and she wanted to retreat and come away from it and go away from it. But the child, which was still nursing, said, oh mother, remain firm and have sabr. The religion that you are following is the true religion. Go into the fire. Take it. And she stepped into the fire. She stepped into that fire. And that incident is the incident which is known as Ashabul Uqdud, the people of the trench. The people of the trench. The name of the boy was Abdullah bin Tamir. Abdullah bin Tamir. It is stated that the boy was buried. But the miracle that occurred there at that time is that the people who were being thrown into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took their souls before they were thrown in the fire. So they will not be tortured by the scorching heat of the fire. So therefore, just dead bodies were placed in the fire. But what happened is that as a means of azab to the people who followed the king and accepted the religion of the king, and they were forced to remain with the king, and they willingly accepted and sided with the king, Allah caused that fire of the trench to spread so far that it moved out of the trench and started to enter the city. And the fire caught all of them and burned them. And only one person was spared, was the king himself, because he was running away from the fire. And in order to save himself, he jumped into a river and he was drowned in the river. And that was the destruction. So while the believers were put to this severe trial, the king and the people had to pay also a price. And Allah destroyed them right in the face of the earth. It is stated in Ibn Kathir that during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on a piece of land that fell into the Islamic State, for some reason or the other, the land was being dug up. Something was going there, some building or something. People who have been buried in the past, you do not know where their graves are, because it is flat, just like the other piece of land. And it so happened, his grave was dug up. And when that happened, they saw the state of the boy was in a manner that, like if you had now buried him. This incident took place 70 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His hand was on the arrow that struck him, holding the arrow. And he was sitting when his grave was dug up. Hadith is reported by Muhammad bin Ishaq, mentioned by Ibn Kathir. And he was fresh. He was wholesome. Not a single part of his body started to rot. Just like a living man who has now passed away. The Rawi and the narrator said someone tried to move his hand. And when they moved his hand, the arrow came out and fresh blood started to flow from his body. Fresh blood. and they saw that on his finger there was a ring. And on the ring there was an imprint. The imprint on the ring was Allahu Rabbi. Allah is my Rabb. Allah is my Lord. The message was immediately sent to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was the Khalifa at that time. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, put the ring on his finger, put his hand back in the place and bury him in the same spot. And this is a sign that martyrs, their body do not rot. They remain in the same way they are buried, and they will rise in the same way. It is mentioned in the traditions that the body of a martyr, it is haram for the earth to eat their body. Looking at the state will bring some compassion. But they were so happy with the punishment that all of them sat around the trench looking at these people that they were burning inside the fire. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ. And they were witnesses of what was being done to the believers. They were all witnesses. The Holy Quran says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ.
So I have to stop there. I'm not feeling well at all. Just going by the pipe.
وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود. And they were witnesses of what they were doing to the believers. They were witnesses. They witnessed it. They looked at it. They were looking on. وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what was really the fault of these people? What did they really do wrong to deserve that punishment? What wrong did they really do that you have to dig a trench, to light it a fire and throw these innocent people? Allah says, وَمَا نَقَمَ مِنْهُمْ. They did not resent them. In other words, they did not dislike them. They saw no fault from them. إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Except that they believed in Allah, who is the mighty, who is praiseworthy. This was their only fault. In other words, this was their only conviction. No other crime they committed. They believed in Allah, and in the eyes of the other people, this was the heinous crime. So because of believing in Allah, they were punished. And that is what will continue. That people, because of their belief in Allah, that they do not want to budge. They will say, I believe in Allah and I will remain with this religion, and this is what my religion says, and I believe and I will stick on it. This is what is a problem to people. You see, if you can budge and if you can compromise, that's no problem. They will like you. People will like you. If you can break your own religious teachings for their fancies and for their whims, you are well accepted. But this is the problem, that يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Because they believed in Allah, who is the mighty, Allah who is the wise, this was their fault, this was their conviction, and this was their crime. So this is why they were punished. And who is the Allah they believed in? Who is the mighty one they believed in? الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The one to whom belongs the heavens and the earth. The one who has the heavens and the earth. Who is the king? That the kingdom of the heavens and the earth belongs to him. He is the Allah they believe in. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. But Allah is a witness over every single thing. So Allah will witness the persecution that came to the believers. And Allah also will witness and has witnessed the wrongs of the wrongdoers. So on one side, he has looked and he has seen what the people has done, the oppressors. And on the other side, he has seen the poor and innocent believers have done nothing wrong except they believed in him, which they're supposed to do, and this is the way they were treated. So therefore, they were two parties. So there are two different things that are promised, one for each party. So Allah says now, as for those who punish the innocent believers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, certainly, those people who tortured the believing men and the believing women, referring to these people. Certainly, those people who tortured the believing men and the believing women, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا, then they did not repent towards Allah. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ, then for them is the punishment of Jahannam, the fire of hell, and for them is the punishment of the burning fire, of the burning fire. Two things are mentioned as their punishment. One is that فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ, they will get the punishment of Jahannam, whatever it is. Punishment in different ways: beaten, flogging, prison, coldness, river of blood, river of pus, all these things, eating thorny fruits and thorny branches, not only fire alone, every type of punishment. But along with that, Allah says for them also is azab al-hariq, the punishment of a burning fire. That can refer to two things. The burning fire, one is the burning fire which seized them while they were still alive at that time. One, because when they had thrown the people, then the fire started to spread and came out of the trench and started to reach to them. One is that. Or the other meaning is that a special burning fire is prepared for them because they destroyed the believers by burning them. So in exchange for that which they had given to the believers, Allah will treat them in the same manner. That is what they will meet: the azab of Jahannam, the azab of the burning fire. Then it states, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, as for those people who believe in Allah and they do righteous actions, they believe in Allah and they do righteous actions, like those people, the people of the trench, the people who were thrown into the trench, they believed in Allah and they did righteous actions. Allah says they may have suffered in this world, but لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجَرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, for them there will be gardens which will flow beneath them. Gardens, such gardens that beneath them will flow rivers. Rivers will flow. Subhanallah, the Quran mentions about the four different rivers. They will get many gardens, not only one, جَنَّاتٌ, many gardens they will get in Jannat. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ, that which is stored up for them in the hereafter is a very great attainment. It is a great achievement. It is a great success. So, the two groups are mentioned now. The two groups have been awarded something. As for those who are persecuted, Allah says Jannat, you will get Jannat, subhanAllah. As for the persecutors and the oppressors, Allah says that the fire in Jahannam and the azab in Jahannam is awaiting them. Now, the Quran speaks now about Allah's vengeance, so that people will know that when Allah reveals something, it's not a joke He's making. Normally you hear that, for example, those who do this, they will be punished. Those who do that, they will be punished. And it really doesn't digest, it doesn't come into the brain and the heart of a man to know that if you really do it, you will be punished. So it just goes through one ear and it comes through the other one. Allah says, if you think that this is a joke, listen well, إِنَّ بَطَشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ, the vengeance of your Lord, it is very severe. When Allah comes to take in revenge for something, then Allah's revenge and His vengeance is very, very severe. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِي وَيُعِيدِ, He is the one who originates and He repeats. So He has created you. If you should become doubtful, that he would not punish you, and there is nothing in the life hereafter about punishment, well, know that the quality of Allah is while you're in, he will repeat the creation, so you will die. Yes, your bones will, your flesh, your body will rot, your bones will become decayed and decomposed, and your body will, the bones will go, the hands will go one side, the feet on the other side, but Allah will repeat the creation to punish you. This is what he says here, he will do it. Because he is the one who regenerated life, and he will repeat the creation so that he will give you your punishment. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. But at the same time, why he will do it to the unbelievers, he is very merciful, he is loving, he is affectionate, and he is forgiven to the believers. So he will forgive the believers, but he will punish the unbelievers. ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ. He, Allah, is the Lord, the owner of the honorable throne. Al-Arsh al-Majid. Arsh means the throne. Al-Majid means the honorable. The owner of the honorable throne. Fa'alun lima yurid. He, Allah, does whatever he wishes. He effects whatever he wishes. Whatever he wants to do, no one can stop him. No one can object to his actions. Fa'alun lima yurid. He does whatever he wishes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in front of them some history, so that they may know that when Allah speaks about punishment coming to a people, it will really come. He says, look at this ayat. Hal ataka hadithul junud. Has the information of the soldiers reached you? Do you know anything about the soldiers and the guards of the past? Who are being spoken about? Allah says, Fir'aun wa Thamud, the people of Pharaoh and Thamud. Do you have any knowledge about Fir'aun and Thamud? Yes, you have knowledge. What knowledge do you have? You have knowledge that Fir'aun thought he was mighty and he was put down to the ground. You have knowledge also that Thamud thought that they were mighty and they were destroyed by Allah. Where does that leave you now? Who think that you are mighty and Allah is not looking at you? This is the lesson. If you want to have doubt about Allah's punishment coming to you, and if you want to have doubt with respect to Allah taking revenge for the wrongs you have done to other people, then all you have to do is study what has happened to the people of the past. This is why Allah says, "Hal ataka hadith al-junud." Has the incident and the information of the soldiers reached you? Fir'aun wa Thamud, the soldiers who are the people. The people, Fir'aun and Thamud. بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي التَّكْذِيبِ. Allah says, nee. They were people who were disbelievers. And these disbelievers were in denial. They continue to deny Allah. They continue to deny the messengers. They continue to deny the scriptures. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. And Allah encompasses them from behind. In other words, wherever they go, right around them, Allah will surround them. In other words, Allah will catch them wherever they go. They cannot escape Allah. They cannot escape the punishment. They cannot escape any decision which Allah has brought for them. So wherever they go, no matter how far they may run, no matter how high they may go, no matter how deep they may go into the earth, no matter whatever palaces they may, what build about them, around them, to secure them, Fir'aun or Haman, they cannot run from Allah. Because Allah is muhit, Allah encompasses them. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنُ مَجِيدٌ. It is but this Qur'an that speaks to you. This Qur'an which is honored. قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. A Qur'an which is honored. فِي لَوْهٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. And it is preserved in a preserved slate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Qur'an speaks to you. And it mentions to you about the things of the past. The Qur'an. Now, how do we know this and have this information? How have we gotten this information about the incident of the people of the trench? Through the Quran. It is something which has, it's something which did occur in the past. It is a real incident, which the scriptures and many people know about. 70 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Arabs still know about it. The incident of Abraha, the Arabs still know about it. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran is speaking about it. So what is highlighted at the end of this ayah is that, O mushrikeen, you are denying Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are denying the Holy Quran. You are saying that this Holy Quran is a fabrication. But this Holy Quran is something which brings the truth to you, because it is preserved and it has no mistake, it has no error in it, and it has no inconsistency in it, and it guides people to the truth. So what problem do you have with the Quran? This is why Allah answers it by saying, "Bal huwa Quranun Majid," but instead it's a Quran, an honorable Quran, which is giving you this information. So why are you so, let's say, arrogant? And why have you become such people that you are going deep down into denial with respect to this Holy Quran? And the surah, it concludes with it, speaking about the truth of the Holy Quran, because of the fact that the incident that is mentioned in this surah, it is given through wahi, and the wahi is the Holy Quran. It is not given through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam via a hadith that it can be found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the case. No, it is given through the Holy Quran, and as such, the Holy Quran, when it gives you such consistent incidents in history, then it shows, it attests to the truth. In other words, these things shows that the Holy Quran is the truth. So two beautiful lessons we learn in this surah. It's a lesson for us that whenever you believe in Allah and your belief is sound and truthful, persecution, torture, calamities, trials and difficulties will come in your way. It must come, no doubt about it. It must come in your way. It will come in different ways and different forms and different fashion. But where does the help of Allah lies? When and where will you get the help of Allah? When you remain firm and consistent in the true belief which you have adopted, and you do according to that. If you budge and you compromise and you move away from it, Allah's help will not come to you in that state. And the other lesson we learn is that whenever we learn that something is the truth, then for whatever reason it may be, we should not move away from that true path. The boy was not a Nabi. Look at his incident. Abdullah bin Tamir was not a Nabi. He was in the middle between two sides. For him, it is possible that the sorcerer could be truth, and it's possible that the monk could be truth. When it was put to the test, he realized that the monk is the truth. He never moved away from that path thereafter. And whatever happened, he was beaten and he was flogged and put to much persecution, but because he knew that it was the truth, he did not budge from it at all. He remained firm upon it. And there, when you remain firm upon that path which you know that is the truth, you know, regardless of how much things may come your way, there is where you're going to see the miracles of Allah working through your hand, which occurred with the boy. He threw a stone and the lion was dead. He passed his hand and the blind man was cured. He was not a Nabi. He was not a saint. He believed in the true religion, conformed to the true religion, and he stood by it. No matter how much trials came in his way, he stood firm to it. So we also, many times we attempted to move away from the truth which we know. Many times we attempted to budge a little bit. And many times we attempted to compromise. But in that way, the person we do harm to is our own selves. Because if Allah sees that we are ready to compromise and we are ready to budge, then He realizes that our iman is shaky and it is not firm. And we really do not know what we believe in. And we really do not know how true it is. So this is why we will be here and we'll go there and we will do this and we will do that and we will compromise. What it shows to Allah is a person who is unsettled. What it shows to Allah is a person who is doubtful as to what he knows to be true or what he knows to be false. He's doubtful. And that type of iman is not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So two lessons that we have learned here and we should abide by is one, is that remain consistent in our belief, no matter how much trials may come our way. And the other thing is that when we know something to be the truth, this is what we have to stand by, regardless of the amount of pressure and regardless of the amount of things that may want to make us compromise. We have to stick by that which is the truth. Inshallah, we'll continue next week.